It's bourbonblog.com, and you know on Bourbon Blog we happen to like moonshine. And a character that we really like in the moonshine world is moonshiner Tim Smith. I have him live on the phone with me right now. Tim, it's been a while since we've caught up. How's everything going in the world of moonshine?
Hey, I'm doing great. Business is booming, just can't keep it up. You know, got too many people out there wanting moonshine. Somebody's going to have to get to work making some.
As you and I have been talking the last year and a half or two, after Moonshine Season 1, Season 2, and following you throughout that, I have noticed a real increase in the popularity and the demand of moonshine. Why do you think that's happening?
How about that? That is surprising. I wonder why. well, it was already there. It just, we didn't know it. Same as, you know, the bootleggers and the moonshiners and even Tim. You know, Tim has always been there, and Tim has always been moving around the United States anyway. He's just been kind of in the dark. I think once we brought light on to Tim and we brought light onto the subject of moonshine, that not really, moonshine is not bad and it's not going to hurt you, and proven how to make good moonshine. And I think that's going to allow people to kind of break the ice a little bit. Some people who did not want to drink moonshine before is offered the challenge of taking a first sip. That's kind of done started a new revolution. You know, not trying to take nothing back away from the guys who put it in the barrel. But just think about it. You got to make the moonshine before you can put it in the barrel. So it's a first come, first serve here.
So you think that there, on some levels, there's the group of people as consumers that have always drank the moonshine, being the moonshine that is, it's not on the shelf, but you can buy from your friendly neighbors and from those people who are out there distilling it in the woods. Or wherever it may be. And then there's the second group of consumers that possibly had heard about it. They maybe were afraid, but now they're beginning to try it. Do you think that's a description of the two groups, or do you think there's other people involved here?
Yeah, I think that's what's done happened. You know, it may be even the third group. You know, the first one who didn't tell nobody, and the second one knew about it, was scared of it, and then it was the third one that really didn't think it still exists. You know, they thought maybe it was back in the olden days, and the older people looked at it. But I think the younger generation that's coming along of drinking age is getting introduced to it pretty rapidly, especially since the show came out. You know, for my business going legal, it's going to be a tremendous plus added to this business.
And as you are going legal, we've been following your story very closely on Bourbon Blog. We've noticed, you tell me, climaxmoonshine.com, the website has been released. I do see Tim Smith's Climax Moonshine Drink of Defiance coming soon. How's that coming, and how soon is it coming? When are we going to be seeing the moonshine on the shelves?
Well, we don't have a release date or anything yet. Everything has been submitted, and we're just kind of waiting on everybody to say, okay, it's good to go. We've been on a fine line here, trying to make sure that we cross the T's and dot the I's and everything, so we don't want to make any mistakes along the way. A lot of people make a lot of mistakes when they get this close, and especially for me, you know, coming from the outlaw side, going to the legal side, everyone is kind of looking at it with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that everything is legit. We call it the drink of defiance because we're defining all odds here. We're doing something they say can't be done. We're bringing the real deal illegal moonshine to the table so everyone can have it just as the illegal moonshine. You know, a lot of people get the wrong impression when you go legal that they think you're going to change the taste of it, or you're changing the recipe, or you're changing the proof of it, you know, and that's not the fact. We're bringing out a recipe that we've always made, and my family's always made. We're bringing it to the table as is, and I try to tell people that it's not really in the recipe. Don't get too excited about that. It's all about the process of the recipe. It's how you handle that recipe and how you make that finished product come out of that worm. That's what makes that drink of defiance right there, and that's that logo, and that's what we're going to.
I feel like I can almost taste it. I'm looking at the picture of you there, and on the bottle there's a dog. Is that your dog that's on the bottle there?
That's my dog, Camo. Saw in real life, and see her laying in some leaves. She's camouflaged, and she's a Kalahula leopard, so she has those spots and those detail colors that makes her blend into the woods. She's always been with me in the woods, and a lot of people who had walked up said, well, I didn't see that dog there. And she would wait for him real quietly, and then jump out because she knows how to blend in and stay camouflaged and sneak up on things. So, her name is Camo because she is camouflaged. She's always been around the moonshine bottle and the jug and the steel. So that was kind of an idea we thought would be good. My picture is also on the bottle on the backside, but we just felt like the Camo, her looking out there, she's watching over that bottle, just like she's watching over the steel back in the woods.
I like it. And it, around her neck, it looks like is this logo that says,
it's Tim Smith's Climax Moonshine is what it is.
Right. That's what I was looking at. It's around her neck.
You can't really see the logo that good, but that's what it is. It's a Climax Moonshine. The C and the M and the S on the end. So it's just a little bit here because it's small.
Climax, of course, being based upon Climax, Virginia, where you're from.
That's right. A lot of people ask about that. How did you come up with the name? Well, it's because that's where I'm from. You know, I've always been from Climax, and I'm also still fire chief of the Climax Fire Department. So it is a real town and a real, real community. It's nothing made up about it at all. It's all the real deal.
A lot of people are putting products on the shelf. There are legal definitions of what a bourbon must be and other products. But moonshine becoming legal moonshine to go on the shelf. There's no real legal definition of what a moonshine must be. We're seeing some that are closer to neutral grain spirits. We're seeing some with different mash bills. To you, as you're thinking about moonshine, what is moonshine to you? What does moonshine have to be really considered by you, Tim, moonshine?
Well, by me, it has to be homemade. You know, that's number one definition in my family. It's always been homemade moonshine. So, not trying to take anything away from anyone else out there on the market. You know, there's a lot of guys out there who are putting a label on a bottle and calling it moonshine. But if it's not homemade, per se, a small batch, maybe the steel was made homemade. It's not a big factory-made steel. The people that make it is not like in a production line. It's not a big column stack steel, you know, making 20,000 gallons a day. You know, it takes a lot of quality features away from it. So I have to go back and you know, my definition would be a homemade liquor or alcohol produced by very few individuals, not, you know, 20 or 30 or 200 individuals working on a assembly line or maybe an automated system. I cannot see an automated system making real moonshine. You know, they are producing the alcohol, but they're not making the real deal moonshine that I've grew up making.
And as far as mash bill, I mean, does anything, I mean, as far as, you know, what you would actually consider real moonshine, do you have any thoughts on mash bill or any thoughts on, you know, corn? I guess there are moonshine.
No, not really. I've made the moonshine and all different types and flavors from all different kinds of mashes. You know, I don't want to get into, like, the bourbon has to be 51% corn and stuff like that. You know, you can make moonshine out of 100% corn, or you can make it out of 100% rye. You can do a combination of wheat and rye and corn and barley. You can make it out of peaches and grapes and strawberries and bananas. It's just a combination of distilling a mash. Really, I really like to just go into just the process of doing it yourself and tasting it and smelling it as it comes out and making the proper cuts and doing it handmade. You know, handmade, homemade moonshine is what it's all about.
What do you think about flavored moonshines? I mean, obviously, we watched you make some. Now, the banana brandy we watched you make, was the base of it banana? Did it have any grain to them? I'm kind of forgetting.
No. All brandies and moonshine made from fruit.
Just fruit.
And my background is going to be made from fruit. It's not going to have any grain whatsoever
grains
in it.
To it.
You know, you may have some yeast or something in it to get started, but it's going to be the base product. It's going to be a fruit base of whatever type it is, whether or not it's grapes or oranges or whatever, it's going to be a fruit.
What are your thoughts on flavored moonshines and flavored, you know, a lot of flavored products coming to the market? Do you have any thoughts on those?
It's a lot of guys out there, they're doing the infusion, you know, they're taking the base product of a moonshine or NutriGrain spirits, most of them are, and they infuse in a fruit, which they're putting the fruit in it after the alcohol was distilled. I'm not too much into that. I never was brought up into that. You know, it's kind of like cheating the market, I guess. It makes a nice sweet taste, but I feel like that's something that you need to do at home. That's something that you need to do on your own time. Where I grew up was we made real good moonshine, and you didn't need to put fruit in it to dilute it to drink it. So we make you real good moonshine. If you wanna chase it with something or mix it with something, then that's up to you. You know, if you drink Dr. Pepper with it, that's fine. If you want to put strawberries in it and let them soak, hey, that's fine. If you want to make apple pie and peach cobbler, that's fine too. But, you know, when you get real good moonshine, you don't need all that stuff.
Now, as we anticipate the release of Tim Smith's Climax Moonshine, can you give us a little preview of what we'll be tasting, the flavor notes we might be getting, or, you know, what this experience is going to be like for somebody who's tried a variety of moonshines, really anxious to taste yours? What will it taste like?
I think all I can say about that is just stand by and get ready, and you're gonna have to buy a bottle, or you're gonna have to come by wherever our location is gonna be designated and get the opportunity. I don't know if words could explain how to taste real moonshine. If you drink anything else other than my moonshine, you're getting ready to have a surprise, because you're getting ready to have the real deal moonshine.
And this is gonna taste just like the moonshine you have always been making. This is the real deal.
It's going to have to be the real deal, because I wouldn't put my name on it, and I wouldn't put my label on it, I won't put my signature on it, and I would not sell it unless it was the real deal.
I am so excited to try it, and obviously we're going to stay with you and follow the story and let people know when this is going to be coming out. No location for where it's going to be, but you said you're still reviewing a few locations as far as where the operation is going to be based out of, isn't that right?
Yeah, no location release or nothing like that yet, even any dates of release yet. But we are getting pretty soon going to make that determination. And I'm pretty sure if you just go to my website, theclimaxmoonshine.com, that hasn't been open yet, but it's out there, or the timsmithmoonshine.com, that website also that we have running, we will be posting it as soon as we have the go on it. And then we can put out the location and maybe the location of where you can purchase this moonshine at.
You have fans internationally. I mean, you have people that write you from many, many countries. People are watching moonshiners. They know about you. They've seen you on TV in Europe and Japan, all over the place. Is the moonshine revolution something that you see growing more and more into the rest of the world beyond the U.S.? How do you see that growing?
Well, it has changed. I'm not for sure what happened there once the show became an international show. You know, I thought it was kind of big when it was in the United States, but we're in about 48 countries now. We went international on the second season, and I get a lot of emails from New Zealand and the United Kingdom, a lot of different countries that and some of them I can't understand what they write me, but it is kind of overwhelming, and I'm not for sure what happened. I don't know how to explain it. The moonshining trend throughout the whole United States has kind of overflowed. I guess it's going back to its roots. It's like going back to Ireland and back to Europe. And you know, like the bourbon guys, too, they're falling back to moonshine also. You know, even you see that the other big guys out there, all the big bourbon guys out there who make moonshine, and put it in a barrel, have did it for hundreds of years, and now they have turned around and come back, and they're putting all of their stuff in a clear bottle, too. I don't blame them. You know, if the opportunity is out there in the market, then I guess you need to jump on it. But it's kind of unusual the way everyone has went back to their roots, all the way back to Europe and all the way back to these the big, you know, the bourbon guys. They've jumped back and put their stuff in a clear bottle.
And we've seen a real whiskey boom. I mean, obviously, the last 8 years we've been doing bourbonblog.com, we have seen whiskey and bourbon especially grow in so many ways. The demand continues to shoot through the roof for whiskey. Do you think that the increase in the popularity in whiskey is in some ways related to that of moonshine?
Well, it's going to have to be. You know, it's got to be together because, you know, go back and think about it. They make moonshine first. Then they make a blend or whiskey, they make a bourbon or anything. They got to go through the whole basic distilling process to make what they're going to put in a barrel or whatever they're going to do with it. And whatever you do in the process in the beginning is what makes a difference at the end. So that's, you know, that's all about me right there is making that process happen.
If somebody asks you the question, you know, hey, Tim, if when I'm out looking for, of course, you know your moonshot's going to be great, and I can't wait to try it. But if somebody's asking you, if I'm looking for good notes, good flavor characteristics in a moonshine, or even if I'm just sitting here with a glass tasting a moonshine, is there a way you recommend people taste it, to nose it, to look for certain characteristics?
Let me try this now. On the nose, it's like eating a hamburger or eating anything else or tasting anything. Normally you do smell it first, and you smell it. If it doesn't smell good, normally it's not going to taste good, or maybe you don't want to taste it. That's the first thing. So you want a comfortable nose. You know, you don't want it too loud. You don't want it to shock your nose, because you know if it shocks your nose, it's gonna shock your throat. And then I feel like that my moonshine taste will stop in the mouth. You know, it's not going to go all the way down. And that's where you want to taste it at, is in the mouth. If you drink a moonshine and it starts going down your throat and all the way down to your stomach, then maybe that's a little bit something that you don't want to drink, and it's going to make you uncomfortable to drink that. The bitterness or the loudness in the mouth has to stay there in the mouth and go away. It doesn't stay there like, you know, when you eat something with hot sauce on it, and you keep that hotness in your mouth prolonged for a long period of time. So I feel like it's going to go away pretty quickly and make you want more to drink. It's not going to turn you away and say, no, I don't want any more of that because it doesn't taste good.
So you really want it to be in the mouth. You want to have, we're going to be able to taste some proof. Your moonshine is going to be...
My moonshine is going to be 90 proof.
90 proof. Yours is going to be 90 proof.
You know, okay. I can tell you that. It's going to be 90 proof on the market, but still, you know, I want people to understand that just the proof of the alcohol doesn't make the difference.
Right.
You can have 120 proof alcohol and be able to drink it same as 90 proof. It's all in the process of how you manufactured that alcohol. That's what's going to make the difference in it.
We're going to see just one product, or are we going to see a variety of different moonshines from you?
We are working on some other flavors to come along. But remember, I believe in clear, pure moonshine distilled from fruit. So we're not looking at infusing any kind of fruit into the alcohol. I do not look at bringing the quality down. I like to give you first quality moonshine right out the still.
So some of the other products could be fruit-based. Is that possible?
That's right. That's right. We'll be working on some fruit-based moonshine to come out. I would call it my flavored. Some may not call it flavored. They may want to call it the brandy. But we're going to call it a flavored moonshine.
It's very exciting. There's a lot Tim Smith has in store for us. And, again, it's climaxmoonshine.com. We're going to continue to stay in Tuscany to find out where we can find this moonshine. And we've been seeing a lot of you in Kentucky here recently. You've been to several events, and you have some more adventure to be at all over the South, it looks like, this summer.
We try to book as many events as we can, but within, we got to stay busy, you know, stay on point of what our business is and where we're going. We want to get that moonshine out there, because everyone's, you know, they're watching this show and they're looking at the show and they're looking at Tim as a maybe a celebrity type person on TV. Well, that's one thing, but Tim still has work to do. Tim has to get that out there, because you got the other crowd who really wants to taste the real moonshine, and that's really what objective here is, to try to get the real moonshine out there.
I can't wait to taste it, my friend. And it's really great catching up with you. Is there anything else that you want to tell the listeners?
Keep up with the two websites, the TimSmithMoonshine.com, the ClimaxMoonshine.com. Next big event that I can think of in Kentucky would be Ham Days, which is in Lebanon, Kentucky, at the end of September. That's the only other event that I have on schedule right now in Kentucky.
Excellent.